We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, coming to you from Merritt Assembly of God, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast right out of Cocoa, Florida, WMIE 91.5 FM. We want to let you know today that we will not be having our vintage service, neither this Wednesday or next Wednesday. I'm out of town today, and so I will not be able to be there for that service, but we will be having kids ministries tonight at 6:30, and we start serving food at 6 o'clock, and then our children's ministries start at 6:30, and so they are going to be having a great time. I don't know everything that they've got planned. Normally I'm involved in that ministry as well. My Wednesdays are pretty full. They start early of a morning, and I normally walk in the door at the house about 9 o'clock at night. It's about a 12-hour day or so. We got the kids ministry that's been growing, and they're having a lot of fun. We've got a lot of exciting things planned for them this summer. They're going to be doing some fundraisers for some of the kids that are going to camp. And so we want to encourage you, if you do have kids, come and we want to invite you to have them come and be a part of this. We have a special blessing event that we do every year right before school, but it requires that they be there for the previous couple of weeks. And so if you would like to get your kids involved, they will have a great time. They will learn about Jesus. A couple of weeks ago, my wife was working on a project with some of the teen girls. And by the way, not only are these boys' ministries and girls' ministries, but they're age-appropriate ministries. So you don't have a huge diversity of age ranges in these classes. They work on things that are pertinent to where they are socially, and they have a great time. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, one girl from one class says, "Look, Pastor Bob, this is what we learned in our class," and the boys were learning some camping skills, and then my wife's class, they were working on a project, and I'm going to tell you something. It was a very cool project. I thought they were doing one thing. Turns out they did something entirely different, and it was awesome. And so we want to invite you to bring your kids out to Merritt Assembly of God on Wednesday nights. Also, this coming Sunday, I will still be out of town. I'm away celebrating my parents' 55th anniversary, and we're very excited about that. For their anniversary several years ago, we actually had them come down, and we went out on a cruise. I think there was like 17 or 18 of us that went on that cruise. It was a lot of fun then, but they didn't get to have the big shindig celebration, and so we're out there this week having part in that. We have a guest speaker that's going to be with us Sunday morning at 10:30. And so we don't have Sunday night service this week because it's Father's Day. And then a week from Saturday, a week from this Saturday, we will have our men's event. And so, guys, we want to invite you out to that. Also, I want to say thank you to Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical, 632-9538. If you have any air conditioning problems that arise, you can call them, or any electrical issues, call them, and they will get you fixed up. By the way, if you do call them, if you would be so kind as to mention that you heard about it on Refresh, that would be a major blessing. It would enable them to know, hey, that's where where they heard about us from. So they've been in Brevard County for a long time. They'll be able to fix you up without any problem whatsoever. So I want to take you back to Acts, the 10th chapter today. Acts, the 10th chapter. I'm going to just go ahead and do a little recap reading, and then we're going to move on towards the latter part of chapter 10. Beginning in verse number 34, it says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin." So that's where we have covered thus far. I just want you to know that when Cornelius said, "Tell us the things that God has commanded you," what Peter told them was the plan of salvation. Told them about the ministry of Jesus and what he had done, and that because of his work and because of who he is, forgiveness of sins is available. Verse number 44 begins the act that transformed. It was another seismic shift in the church world at that time. "While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, 'Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?' And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days." Now remember, all of this started off with God interrupting Cornelius's prayer time and saying, "Send for Peter. Peter's got something to tell you." He interrupts Peter's waiting for dinner by Peter having a vision, and that vision ends up leading him to go to Cornelius. And Cornelius says, "So tell us everything that God has commanded you to tell us." And Peter is asking him, "Okay, why am I here? Why am I here?" And so they both begin to do their parts. But I want you to know that it was just not in the heart of Cornelius, and it was not in the heart of Peter, but this entire meeting originated in the heart of God. I want to convey to you today that it is God's desire to bless you. It is God's desire to empower you, to inform you. It is not God who lacks transparency. It is the devil. And so up until this point, even though there had been hints that had been given by God that what he had done among the Jewish people that he was wanting to do among the Gentiles, the church leadership at that point in time still did not have a full understanding of it. It is incidents like that that should cause all of us to retain a great deal of humility, because in spite of our best efforts, there exists the possibility that we could not have a full grip on things when it comes to who God wants to save and who God wants to empower by his Holy Spirit. Okay. If you think that God can only minister to a certain segment of society, I want you to know that you need a bigger picture. You need a bigger picture. For years, people have tried to compel us to narrow our focus as far as what part of society that we would focus on ministering to. The only problem was that we had people from just about every segment of society represented in our church, and so who would get left out? That was the situation that birthed the deacon ministry in Acts, I believe it's the 6th chapter, because there was a segment of the church that was being ignored. And God's not into ignoring a certain segment of the church. One of the great claims that has been laid at the feet of the church is that on Sunday morning, that is the most segregated hour in America. Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the week in America because we all run off to our various tribal representation. And in heaven, what is taking place is people from every tribe, tongue, and nation are gathered around the throne worshiping the King of Glory. So I love that there is diversity in the body of Christ. But at this point in time, Peter and the other disciples did not have a full scope of that. And so Peter is has begun his sermon to them with where they were as far as knowledge, what they already knew, and then he began to explain to them the life and the work and the ministry of Jesus and how to be saved. Salvation is absolutely foundational. Repentance is absolutely foundational to a relationship of blessing and favor in the heart of God. I get very, very disturbed when I hear of claims that are made sociologically that we are supposed to give special exemption to shortcomings that don't line up with the Word of God. I that disturbs me because that is not expressing to them love. That is expressing to them apathy, actually, that we so much don't care about your eternal existence that we're just going to let you do whatever. You know what? We taught every one of our kids not to poke things into the electric outlet. Why? Because if they did that and they didn't know what they were doing, they would get electrocuted. We taught everyone, oh, the stove is hot. You don't want to touch the burner on the stove. We taught them all that. We taught them you don't want to play in traffic. You know why? Because you could get hit because people are driving down the road and they don't pay attention. Repentance is absolutely forgiven is absolutely foundational. Forgiveness is essential. And so we encourage people everywhere to ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins and be the Lord of their life. Here is what is amazing in Acts chapter 10. After God comes to Cornelius and tells him to do to send for Peter, and he tells Peter to go with the representatives that Cornelius had sent, and Peter comes and he begins to preach, and Cornelius has gathered the whole house, and Peter begins his sermon, and while Peter is still speaking, all of a sudden God pours out the Holy Spirit in a manner that they had not seen before. It left those who were accompanying Peter, it left them astonished, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles. Now, this is not the first occurrence. In Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost, and everybody was in one place in one accord, and God poured out his Holy Spirit upon the church. There was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. There were cloven tongues of fire that came and set down upon the head of each one of them. And there was a tremendous event that took place in the marketplace. There, it took place in a public environment to the point that people in that community thought that they were drunk because of what was taking place. The only thing was they were proclaiming the glories and the wonders of God to the point that people from all sorts of different languages were saying, "How come we hear them praising God in our native tongue?" And then Peter got up to preach, and that day many people resulted in salvations. I will tell you this, when God pours out his Holy Spirit, it is not just a merit badge. It is for the purpose of people giving their heart to Jesus. It is meant to result in people being saved. Okay? Now, if you were to turn back a chapter from Acts chapter 10 to Acts chapter 8, you would see that there was a revival taking place in Samaria. Philip had gone down there and preached, and then Simon Peter goes down there, and he is addressing the people that Philip has been ministering to. They had repented. They had been baptized. There were signs and wonders that were taking place. When the apostles come down there, they began to pray for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. And in that case, the Holy Spirit was poured out when the apostles had laid their hands on them. The people that they were praying for received the Holy Spirit. It was so moving for Simon the sorcerer, who had repented, had been baptized, and was very active in the church, that he offered them money. You see, he had lost his position of prestige. Now people were turning to Jesus, and they weren't looking to him, and that was kind of hard on his ego. And Peter looked at him and said, your heart is not right. You're full of bitterness, and as a result, you don't have any part in this ministry. And right now, you and your money are going to perish if you don't adjust this. And Simon says, pray for me that what you have said does not come upon me. But I want you to see that in Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit was poured out in a manner different from Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 10, in Cornelius' house, now where it happened in a marketplace in Acts chapter 2, it happened in kind of a church service in Acts chapter 8. In Acts chapter 10, it happens inside a person's house. I want you to know that when God is ready to bless you, and he is ready right now to bless you, he is going to bless you. But God loves human partnership. He loves to function with the cooperation of the saints of God. I am so thankful that he has allowed me to work with him through the years. I mean, one of the best ways to get better at what you do is to do what you do with someone who's smarter than you. And let me tell you, ministry cannot take place, effective ministry cannot take place without the presence of God. We could have all of the greatest programs in the world, but I'm telling you, without the fellowship and the power and the person of God, we will not succeed. Unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain that build it. The good news is, God did all of this. He moved upon Cornelius' heart, and he moved upon Peter's heart. He moved upon everybody in that place because he wanted to bless Cornelius and those that had gathered in his house. God put all of that together for the purpose of pouring out the Holy Spirit upon them. Now, we are very thankful at Merit Assembly of God. We are unashamedly Pentecostal. We don't do weird stuff. We're not swinging from chandeliers. There aren't any chandeliers. I'm a function over aesthetics type guy. I want to make sure that the building is suitable, that it's nice. But when it comes to decoration, I leave that in somebody else's hands. You know what I'm interested in? I'm interested in two things. I'm interested in the presence of God, and I'm interested in people being ministered to and getting saved. Those are the things that I'm interested in. Am I looking for the fanciest church in town? No, I'm not. I'm looking for an effective place where people can have a God encounter. And we are the people who get caught up on the aesthetics of things. If you look back at Azusa Street, go back and read some of the descriptions of what that facility looked like. It wasn't a very nice facility. Now... you know, if a church gathered in that, they would come and shut things down because it would not be deemed a safe environment. But I encourage you, make sure that you keep yourself focused on worshiping God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, walking in obedience, and watch God bless you. Well, I said all of that about Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, and Acts chapter 10 here because as human beings, we like formulas. We like equations. 1 + 1 = 2. We like nice concrete things that we can. I'll be honest with you. I like that. I wish that dealing with people was people have a problem. They come. You give them the scripture and they apply the scripture and automatically their life is changed. But you know what? God created us with a human will, and so there is a variable in that equation, and that is how much are we willing to cooperate with God. I love the fact that while Peter was still preaching, God said, okay, Peter, I will take it from here. And it wasn't that God was functioning out of order. God's order is what we're looking for. And so while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And here's what it says that began to take place in verse number 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. The gift of the Holy Spirit is not about us glorifying ourselves and drawing attention to ourselves. It is about magnifying and glorifying God. That's what it is about. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now let me tell you this. When God is doing a work inside of you, it is going to come out of you. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. There's a meme that shows up on Facebook from time to time, and it says, I just love how on one post on Facebook, you're cussing people out, and the next post, you're quoting scripture. Folks, that should not be. That should not be. Our heart should be full of God. It should be full of His Word. Here a couple of weeks ago, we were dealing with temptation with our boys' ministry, and we were saying, how did Jesus respond? And, you know, the temptations that Jesus faced may not be the same temptations that those boys face, but the way that Jesus dealt with that temptation can be the same way that we deal with our temptation. What does God's word have to say about it? And so, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and they began to speak with tongues and magnify God. There are some people who don't want to open their mouth and begin to proclaim the praises of God. I want to tell you that when God has filled your heart, it is going to begin to pour out of you. And it's not going to be drawing attention to yourself. It is going to be about magnifying and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Open your mouth and begin to praise God. It says that what happened was those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Can I just ask you a reflective question, something to ponder? When was the last time that God did something that just was beyond your experience and your expectation? When was the last time that God, who's able to do exceeding abundantly above everything that we can ask or think or imagine, when was the last time that it just left you going, wow, God is so good? When was the last time that He touched somebody that maybe others thought were untouchable, unreachable, unlovable? I love hearing testimonies of how God reaches people in societies where they were considered the most desperate. People had tried for years to reach them, and then all of a sudden, in just a moment, God reached them. You know what? He can still do that here today. I don't know why this came to mind, but I'm just going to share it. Today, you may not think that your spouse is reachable, and I want to encourage you that God can reach your spouse. He wants to He wants to fill you with the goodness of God. Looking at the clock, I've got a couple of minutes here. I believe that one of the faulty strategies that people employ whenever it comes to reaching a lost loved one is they compromise their level of commitment to God. And they say, oh, well, I just want to honor them, and I don't want to offend them or anything like that. Listen, I understand I'm not talking about offending them or anything. What I am talking about is there's got to be something in our life that gets the attention of society, and it's not going to do it by us compromising. Today, I want to encourage you, run harder after God than you ever have before. Tommy Tenney wrote a book over a decade ago called The God Chaser. Be one who chases after God, who chases after his word. Am I calling you to be the person that does all of the fanatical things? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying we've got to let our light shine brighter than we've ever shown it before. We've got to show them that there is a distinction, that there is a reason, there is a benefit to living for God. And so the church that day was absolutely amazed when God poured out his spirit upon the Gentiles. You know, I said earlier that God had given them some hints. When Paul had his Damascus Road experience, God had told him that he would be the apostle to the Gentiles. He would take the gospel to the Gentiles. And they still didn't get it. In the Old Testament, it said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And the Jewish people still didn't get it. He ministered to the Samaritans, and he ministered to centurions, and the church still didn't get it. And now comes to the house of Cornelius, and the Holy Spirit is poured out, and the people in that house are saved. And all of a sudden, the church says, wow, now we get it. God loves everybody. He loves you. He loves me. I want to encourage you today, be ready to receive the blessing that God has in store for you. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.